almost carried a post almost carried a story based about a call I was alleged to have made to Arthur Schlesinger when they did not even check with Schlesinger or me. And they had a source in New York. Now, this morning, his Evans Novak's column, I'll read it to you in just a minute. I want to preface it by saying, Mr. President, that doesn't bother me if anyone disbelieves me, because I know in my own heart it's true. I have not talked to anyone about the subjects mentioned in Evans and Novak this morning. Not to anyone except you. Not to anyone else in the White House. Not to my wife. I called Jack this morning and asked him if he had talked to him. He said, no, only to Mary Margaret. Well, I haven't even talked to Judith about it, but let me read you the column. Serious Democratic politicians here, both inside and outside the Johnson camp, are alarmed over the political impact of the Manchester book on their party, and consequently on the 1968 presidential election. President Johnson himself has displayed no signs of distress to his intimates over the pre-publication of juicy bits and pieces alleged to be in the book The Death of a President by William Manchester. And yet these disembodied excerpts put Mr. Johnson in a highly unflattering light in the immediate aftermath of the tragedy at Dallas. Showing no concern, the president himself instead has confided to intimates that, quote, the ultimate record will be clear, end quote. If those words mean what they imply, they mean only one thing, that a massive refutation of the Manchester version, almost all of it gathered in interviews with Kennedy intimates, is in the offing. One predictable effect of any such refutation would be to heighten the tensions between the Johnson and Kennedy wings of the Democratic Party, because fairly or not, all the anti-Johnson overtones found in the Manchester book are automatically going to be attributed to allies of the Kennedys who gave the author most of the material. Mr. Johnson himself refused to see Manchester. It would be only natural for Johnson allies to strike back at the Manchester book, and hence at the Kennedys, with their own version of the traumatic events during those fateful hours after the assassination. Moreover, despite the fact that the White House has told this column that no precise reconstruction of events has even been thought of, now that's the note that I had Mary Catherine Reed Evans when he called on Friday, and I refused to talk to him as I refused last week to talk to any reporters. I simply said, tell him that he is wrong, that the White House does not have any idea of putting together a refutation of the Manchester book. Moreover, despite the fact that the White House has told this column that no precise reconstructions has ever been thought of, there are indications that close friends of Mr. Johnson, including Supreme Court Justice Abe Fortas, may now be compiling the record. For example, in the President's personal files today are notes dictated on the spot and recollections put down months later by members of the Johnson official family. A minute-by-minute account of what Mr. Johnson did and of much of what he was heard to say was dictated by Clifford C. Carter, a longtime Johnson intimate, on the flight back to Washington. Well, I called Cliff this morning, and he said he did talk to Evans last week, but that he didn't tell him anything that he hasn't told anyone else publicly or talked about. Jack Valenti, the president's man Friday, from the moment of the assassination until he quit the White House earlier this year, was never interviewed by Arthur Manchester. But Valenti also has a set of notes giving his version of the new president's conduct from Love Field until late that night in the new president's temporary quarters in the executive office building. Valenti took time out in the rush of events the following week to replenish his record. A note written on November 25, for example, recalled that despite the emotional tensions of the moment, Mr. Johnson had reached for a glass of water on the flight back from Dallas with a steady hand. I talked to Jack this morning, and he says that he had talked
to him. He's upset. He said that you told him, and I had called you and asked you to get a hold of him about this call. I told him I never had heard of it, and I hadn't asked you to get a hold of it.
No, Mr. President, I told him that you had asked me to call him about the and talk to the different people about the Newsweek thing and see if they talked to him. And I've called a number of people. I had not read this at that time. And when you talked to me, then when I came to the office, I read this thing, too, and I just coupled both of them with Jack, and he said he didn't talk to Newsweek, but that he had talked to Evans more than a week ago, but he didn't tell him this. Beyond this, reliable politicians now report that verbatim transcripts of telephone and other conversations between the president and others in the post-assassination period have been carefully filed for future use. Well, that's wrong because there are no verbatim transcripts.
Oh, no, there are. There are a good many. They don't think so, but there are a good many.
I thought that Juanita had said that we didn't have the equipment
in
those days.
There are a good many, but...
Well, he's talking here about between you and other people.
Well, they are. There are a good many.
Although these reports cannot be confirmed, they suggest that ammunition for a counterattack against the Manchester Book, if one is needed, has been stored up for use at any time. All of this gives Democrats who aren't principal actors in the drama a distinctly uneasy feeling, and no wonder. If the Manchester Book does in fact portray Mr. Johnson in the unflattering hue suggested by the advanced publicity, Johnson allies are certain to attack the book's authenticity and produce their own version. And that, without question, could start a vicious round of recrimination. Already, for example, some Johnson allies are saying Senator Robert Kennedy of New York advanced the Manchester publication date from post-election 1968 to post-election 1966 to embarrass the president. In fact, the earlier date was picked for only one reason, that Kennedy is completely out of the 1968 presidential picture, but very much in the 1972 picture. If publication were delayed until 1969, he could be charged with using the book to help his political prospects. But this kind of charge will continue, and if Johnson intimates do decide that the Manchester Book is really harmful to the president and come up with their own version of what really happened, discord will shake the party to the benefit of the high-flying Republican. Now, when I talked to Evans, he said he admitted he had talked to nobody in the White House, that he had talked to six people, two of whom had told him that Abe Fortas and Clark Clifford and others might be working on this. They weren't as sure about Clifford as they were about Fortas. One of them, he said, was in New York, and the other one was in Washington. Neither of them, he said, was either working for you or had worked for you. He said he talked to one wife of a very close friend of yours. And I said, was this wife the friend of someone who is working at the White House or has worked at the White House? He said, no, it is not. He said, but I consider the information fairly good. That's another case, six people talking to a fellow, and I'm surprised that they knew what they knew. Now, I talked to Ben Bradley this morning. Here they've got in the Washington Post a little postscript which says Senator Robert F. Kennedy remains eager to defuse his feud with FBI Director J. Edgar Hoover over who authorized the use of electronic bugs in the years that Kennedy served as Attorney General. Accordingly, a Kennedy operative last week discreetly approached two highly placed White House staff members to elicit their aid in dampening the controversy. The Johnson men offered their sympathy but said the president, quote, can't control, quote, Hoover. Now the senator is awaiting fresh charges from Hoover that his former boss knew all about the, quote, bugging, quote. Well, I told Bradley, I talked to Bradley for a long time, and he told me, gave me reason to believe that had come from Andy Glass via Dick Goodwin. So I called Goodwin, and Goodwin admitted that he had talked to Glass last Thursday in New York, he said, probably I mentioned it. I thought it would be helpful. And I said, Dick, this is exactly what, and I have this conversation recorded too. I said, Dick, this is exactly what makes it difficult to deal with you and makes it very difficult to keep the air clean between the White House and the senator, but not because the president or the senator are talking, but because people who call us. I said, you told me you would tell no one that you had sent me a transcript of the look piece. And I didn't even tell anybody where I got it. I didn't even tell the president where I got this copy of Look magazine. And I said, but then Arthur Schlesinger tells Jack Berlini that he knows that we have a copy. So this is another example of what you were talking about early, Mr. President, or what bothers you early, is that these papers and these reporters use sources that appear to know or do know, but are second or third removed from the scene.
Well, this is your department. You're much more experienced in it than I am, and
no, I'm really not, Mr. President. I haven't had any... you can't control what is uncontrollable.
No, but I mean, you... I mean, you... You know, I never did know Goodman well at all. I hardly knew him when he came us. I never did know Schlesinger well. I never did know even Jack well. He just came in there, and we do it. I think that it would be very good if you and Jack and George and Buzz and Cliff would get together, and if y'all wouldn't talk to these people, either while you are working there with them on these discussions or after you leave. And I think it would be good if we could have the feeling that I have, we'll say, when you have a personal difficulty with your mother or your wife or your brother, that these things that you have knowledge of because of my confidence in all of you were treated with the same sanctity as you would with the same the secretiveness, the same confidence as if you saw me making love to Lady Bird in the bed. I don't believe you'd go out and talk about how we made love. And I believe that a man's obligation in the White House is equal to that. Now, I know that Schlesinger and Goodman and Sorensen don't feel that way, but I never felt very close to them. And I always had grave doubts about them. But I have felt close to George. And I do know that a good many people tell me they go to talk to him. And I do know that there's a lot of slashing. They tell me every day what you say about somebody and what somebody says about you. And these reporters just come in. They send people in. They got everybody from A.W. to Melvin Winters coming in with stories because I'm not seeing anybody else, and I don't even discuss them with them. But they're doing it. And Liz is back and forth with people, and you just have no idea the humdrum humming that's taking place.
You're talking about George Christian or George Reedy?
George Reedy. Then I'm talking about when Christian too, but mostly Reedy. I think it would be the same thing with Busby. Busby has the feeling that all the time that he was sliced at and he was cut at, and he constantly has the feeling that he can sit down and talk confidentially with Evans or with Lissagor or with Chuck Bailey or with Charlie Bartlett. I don't know specifically those names. I'm illustrating. But I know some of them. Now, he has never told me this, but they tell me that. It comes back when I check it, the Wall Street Journal, some of the things. They just, all these trails run into you. And then I hear from some of the folks at Hoover's, Kennedy's fighting with. These are some of the sources. The Schlesingers and the Bartlett's and the Buchwald's and the Capote crowd, so forth, they feel like that they can talk to Jack. And they'll say that Johnson was caught screwing a hog, and Jack will say, no, he wasn't screwing a hog. There was not any hog there. Let me tell you how that happened. And then they feel that is an enema. So I think, and Carter, I don't know what Carter thinks. I don't know what he would say, but I know that Evans and Novak do not like Carter, and I know they do not like Marvin. I think that you and Harry and Bundy really worked on Marvin with the displeasures on taking calls.
That's not true, but I didn't work on Marvin.
I mean, well, anyway, a good many people quoted y'all's displeasure at him, and it got in the paper, and I believe that had the effect of working on him. And I believe that the displeasure was expressed to others besides me. And I think that if you expressed it to Bundy, which I believe you did, and if you expressed it to Harry, which I believe you did, and either any of those exchanges, they do get in, you see. And I don't believe that any of these folks would do anything to harm me. But I don't think they did it to harm Harding. I don't think Harding ever did a dishonest act any more than I have. But they have me building a roadway through our ranch property, which is the last thing we would like to see done. But there was a road built through it, and now they're widening it and making it more travelable. But we don't want it. We wish it didn't happen. It just kills our cattle, and it just has to hire extra labor. And we don't have a house, and it's not going to any place we have. It's going to Sunrise Beach, but they say that. New York Times does, in all the front pages of the papers. And they have a lot of stories about how we have gotten rich off of the land. And of course, it's not true at all. Made huge profits. Now we still got the land and haven't made any huge profits. It's true we sold a few lots. And it's true that it will be, I think, a profitable venture. But it has nothing to do with the road. The road was there when we bought it. Now they're putting a new one, but they say the road between the Johnson City and the ranch. Well, that is true. It has been improved. It's been widened because of a lot of wrecks, a lot of danger. 4 people got killed last year on it. But they did it 6 years ago from Johnson City to Dripping Springs. The next 3 years they did it from Dripping Springs to Johnson City. And then they did from Fredericksburg to Stonewall. Now they've done it Stonewall to Blanco County line. This is the thing they do normally. Or they have a count to justify us, but we don't care. I would much prefer that they not have so many people coming to the house. We would like to see Ranch Road 1 closed, but they write these things and they talk to our people and so on. So we just have to do that with the press. But the question is, what do we do about Newsweek and George, who's briefing right now? How simple can we make it? I would think.